Ashley from Our Splendid Life.
Hi, it's Laura from Millennial Stepmom.
And we are so excited to welcome you to Combo Moms, a podcast for blended families.
Each week, we'll be sharing tools and resources for your step family, along with stories and experiences from viewers like you. Hey, Combo Moms, welcome to episode 2. A lot of you guys have been asking for us to talk about relationships, and we wanted to go over what that looks like in a blended family dynamic.
Yeah, I love that because I was a single mom when I met my husband, and dating was like, didn't even happen.
Yeah.
And so, Laura, I would really love your perspective on like, how does that look? Like, how did you navigate dating someone that already has a kid?
Right. So first, I have to start off with saying that my husband really created a smooth transition in that he actually started showing photos of me to my stepson in the beginning to get him warmed up to the idea of the fact that we had been dating. And he would just tell him stories like, this is my friend Laura. And because my stepson was 2.5. So
yeah.
You have to talk to a 2.5-year-old in a way that they can understand, you know,
right.
A friend.
For sure.
So this is my friend. This is what we did this weekend. And so he would just keep, you know, talking about me. And that really helped for my stepson to get used to who I was. And when we finally met, it was kind of like, well, actually it was funny because he was bursting out crying saying I don't want to meet her. And it was because he was tired. He was 2.5 and it was,
right.
It was like, it was cutting into nap time. So, and I luckily knew that because I babysat forever and I knew what it meant when a 2-year-old was cranky like that. So I was not offended. But anyway, we ended up building, of course, a close bond. But even to this day, he talks about how he remembers one of his first memories was seeing a photo of me, which melts my heart.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So, but going back to, you know, how it works with dating somebody that has children from a previous relationship, you know, it is a struggle because you have to figure out what your place is in this family that is, you know, your partner and their child or children. So you definitely have to take things slow. And, you know, if you feel like you're not much of a priority or you feel insecure in the beginning, those are normal feelings that I absolutely felt. And I never felt this like concern about, oh no, does he want his ex back? Because another thing for your partner is that he or she needs to kind of reinforce it in the beginning. Like, listen, you know, I'm all in with this relationship and my ex is the past. And I think that's important in the beginning because feeling vulnerable, feeling not a priority, feeling insecure, that's normal when you're dating somebody who is in constant contact with their ex.
Right. And so that actually was a little bit opposite for me because when I met Matt, I wasn't in contact with my ex at all. And so I was essentially like a single mom. And I remember, so he and I actually started out as friends and like one of the first things we ever did together was like, we went to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. that was like, let's go hang out with my kid. And so he just knew from the very beginning that like, she's my priority and he respected that. And I think that that was such a huge reason why we were able to make it work and why it just became like this cohesive family unit right from the beginning, because he knew that she was my priority, you know?
Right. Right.
And so like, he made a connection pretty much instantly with my daughter. Like they hung out and we went to the park together and it was like a friend thing more than like a dating thing. So I guess maybe that's different for you, but like, how did you allow yourself to like make that connection with your stepson?
So I took things very slowly in the beginning. I didn't put any expectation on it. I just sort of allowed him to come to me more. I didn't try to push anything. When we moved in together, that's when I think our bond started to pick up more because we sort of began as a family unit. But we've always Brian and I have always felt that the importance of still getting that time one-on-one with both the parent and the step-parent. So to this day, you know, I try to push for Brian to have one-on-one time with my stepson, and then I also have it. So we have different interests and things like that. You know, it doesn't have to always be the three of us constantly. You know, because you still have to get used to it, and you don't want your stepchild to feel like they're being pushed out because this new person is coming in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, so what did dating look like for you? You know, like, was that like something that he brought up right at the beginning? Like, he was very upfront with like, I have a kid, and like, what did that look like? And how were you able to make time for just your relationship? And like, because you're basically coming into it as like another, like a parent almost, you know what I mean? Where like, instead of being like, oh, I'm just going to be a girlfriend, it's like, no, it's already like serious, I guess, you know?
Right. So I think a lot of it that helped is that the custody arrangement we have is 50-50. So in the beginning, I would come up to visit him because I was living in New Jersey actually at the time when we first started dating. So I would come to Boston and we would schedule it when his son was not going to be with us, when he would be, or with him, when he'd be with his mom.
Right.
So that gave us a lot of time to just develop our relationship in the beginning. And then, I would say I started to meet, my stepson slowly. And then when we decided, okay, let's move in together, that's when it kind of moved faster. But at the time, I feel like my stepson was used to me and he was young at the time, which was an advantage for us. So it wasn't as difficult of a transition, if that makes sense.
For sure. Yeah.
But I do feel that we got all of the first time relationship things. We made a point to make that happen. And I feel like my husband's the reason. He was, you know, he wanted me to feel secure and he wanted us to have our time together. So just doing that around the custody schedule made it happen. That made it easy for
us. Well, and you have to embrace that relationship. And I know you've said this before too, like you become really serious about it and you have to be committed because like you've said, like essentially if you break up with this man, you're breaking up with his son. Like that's such a big thing. Like, can you touch?
Yeah. So it's so important. So with children, it's such a sensitive time during their upbringing from age 0 to 10. And actually for the entire duration, but particularly in the formidable years, which is actually 0 to 5. So you definitely want to make sure that as best as you can, I mean, you can't plan for everything, but you want to make sure this person is really someone that you feel strongly about and that this road is where you want to go. If anything, for the child's sake, because I remember when my stepmom left, that was so traumatic for me. I was devastated losing my first stepmom. I literally never saw her again. And it depends. Not everyone has that situation. Like some people still remain in contact with their stepchildren, but it is so impactful for the child. So you really have to make sure that this is what you want, so you're not hurting everybody in the relationship.
Right. And I remember like when my daughter met her stepmom, I honestly didn't really take her seriously at first because he had other girlfriends.
Yes.
So I was like, I just don't know how long she's even going to be in the picture, you know? And so I feel bad not giving her that time of day at the beginning, but like, I love that you come at it and you're just like, no, like I'm serious about this. And you have such an amazing perspective from the child's point of view and how that impacted you. And I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that and understand that like, it's huge, like dating someone with kids.
Right.
So.
And also I want to point out too, from your perspective, you thinking about this woman as not being a serious person, that's a natural feeling as a mom.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I feel like, and I'm allowed, I can look back now because it's been years, but Brian and I were talking about how, you know, his ex didn't feel comfortable with certain things with me in the beginning and she didn't know how serious I was. So she was hesitant. And I think that's a natural motherly instinct.
Exactly.
And you could speak more on that than I can, but I feel like I see why you thought that way. I see why she thought that way. And it took me years to get to where I can look back and see that now, but it totally right. makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that that's one of the things, like one of those hurdles that you kind of have to learn your way through. And so
exactly.
I hear you on that.
So today being Valentine's Day, we also have a special treat for our listeners.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention what that's going to be?
Yeah. So I actually got on and interviewed Matt. Like, we kind of get into our backstory, and you guys submitted questions for us and we answered them. And so we wanted you guys to kind of get that perspective from a stepdad. So that's kind
so
of
good.
Our treat for you. Yeah. So let's plug that in, and you guys can take a listen to the interview that I had with Matt the other day. Okay, so I'm so excited to have Matt here on the podcast, and I wanted to start out by giving you guys a little bit of backstory for anyone who doesn't know already. Matt and I actually met when I was a single mom living in Utah. So I had been separated, and I was working full-time, and then, you know, her dad wasn't really in the picture at that point, and we became good friends. It's actually so funny. I, like, literally knocked on his door, and he answered the door, and... Do you want to say, like, how we met?
I was shocked when she answered the door. I wasn't expecting that.
I borrowed a crock pot from his mom, and I was returning it. And I didn't know that she had an older son. Like, I don't think I put that together.
I'd seen Ashley just kind of around the neighborhood and in church and that type of thing. I didn't know her. Would never talked.
Yeah.
And so when she showed up at the door, it was a surprise to me for sure.
Yeah, so I moved in with my grandparents, right after I separated. And so my grandparents actually moved into his neighborhood. And it was so random and so meant to be. Like, we became good friends, but it was also like we both kind of knew. Like, it was almost like right away we just knew that we were supposed to be together. So, honestly, at that point in Utah, we could never have anticipated what would come next, do you think?
No, definitely. It's not something that we could have foreseen.
Right. Because I mean, you know, what happened was Matt ended up watching as this really intense custody battle began, and it totally changed the dynamic of our relationship, but really it changed everything for me. And so, like, I remember calling to tell him that I had to move across the country, and my entire world was shattered because, like, this was a huge thing for me. I honestly never saw that coming. Like, I had so much faith in the system, and I felt like everything was going to work out and it was all meant to be. And I was just kind of like roses and daisies, and like assumed that like the court system was just going to be this really easy process. And you guys, it wasn't. Like, it was incredibly hard and challenging. And like, you know, so when I called to tell him I had to move across the country, like, do you remember that?
I was shocked. There are a lot of twists and turns, and that was kind of the beginning of it. But no, I never really imagined or thought that that Ashley would need to go back, to South Carolina.
Yeah, because so what ended up happening was we fought over jurisdiction. So basically, I filed in Utah, my ex filed in South Carolina. And South Carolina won jurisdiction, and the judge actually required that I move and live within 30 minutes of my ex. And so I just remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, my whole entire world was rocked. So I guess at some point we realized that, like, you know, I moved across the country, and then it wasn't temporary. Like, it was almost like we didn't have a foreseeable end in sight. Like, it felt like, okay, you know, we just kept fighting and fighting and fighting for, you know, like, to be able to just even just get a divorce. You know what I mean? Like, it was so intense at the time, and I felt like it was going to be such an easy process, and it wasn't. But you know, what happened was I ended up in South Carolina, and then
I was in Utah.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where when all this was happening and Ashley had to move, you just kind of forgot about, our future relationship or anything like that. And it kind of just took a, backseat to Ashley's daughter and EK and the custody and
so this whole time we literally wrote letters back and forth because we couldn't see each other and we didn't feel like we could even, you know, pursue a relationship, obviously. Like, we were just friends and we kind of kept it as like a friend level thing. And literally, like, I still have like all of these letters that we wrote back and forth. We were like pen pals.
Yeah, you were like my pen pal from France when I was in elementary
school. Oh my
gosh.
Yeah. But so what ended up happening was the court stuff just kept getting extended and there was like one court hearing after another and mediation and all of this stuff was super ongoing. And Matt actually graduated college at the time. And then my grandparents lived in Georgia. So he ended up, do you want to tell that?
I just, it was really just a faith-based move. Yeah. I didn't know anybody in the Southeast. I'd never even been outside of maybe the Atlanta airport, anywhere close to, you know, South Carolina or really seen Georgia. And I just kind of decided, well, I've, you know, finished school and I'm going to, you know, move into the general area and, you know, hope everything, you know, eventually works out. It was completely just, you know, a shot in the dark though. And I didn't really have any plans or expectations and
right.
just thought that, you know, one way or another, things would eventually work out.
So I actually, he mailed me this cute picture of him. And on the back of it, he wrote "whatever it takes." And I still have that. And I remember that's like one of those mantras that we repeated. And it got me through a lot of those hard times because I just knew that like we would do whatever it takes to make this work. And that just, that really stuck with me. And it kind of has, you know, been a mantra for our relationship too. Like, you know, whatever it takes, it doesn't really matter. You know, we're going to do it together. And so, yeah, like, so once we figured out the custody situation and wrapped up and finalized the divorce and everything, we actually decided to stay in Atlanta. So it felt like, honestly, like it felt like a good thing at the time, don't you think?
Yeah, we were just going to kind of see how it worked out. And I was in, you know, I was able to get into law school in Georgia in you know, Midtown Atlanta area. And we were just giving it, you know, our best shot. And you know, it was fun to kind of be in a different environment with, you know, develop a whole new friend group and had classmates and professors yeah. that I really liked. And it was fun living in Atlanta.
Right. It was nice. But at the same time, you guys, like, it wasn't easier. And so I just kept thinking like things are going to get better when this happens or things are going to get better when that happens. And so we knew that we were going to be in Atlanta for these 3 years for law school, but like it never really felt like it was going to be permanent, I guess, because like Matt has a ton of connections in Utah. Like his dad and grandpa were both like really involved in.
I went to law school. I mean, my dad was a lawyer.
Yeah.
His dad was a lawyer and then a judge. Yeah, both in Utah. And so, you know, growing up, I met a lot of their, you know, coworkers and went to Christmas parties and had a pretty deep roots and network from a legal standpoint in Utah. And so, you know, so at some point I, you know, hope to, you know, possibly be able to take advantage of that.
Right. Like, so all of his summer internships were in Utah. And so we actually had Carter, I don't know, this is such a funny story. He was interning in Utah and I went back to South Carolina to see Ellie Cade. Like I was visiting her, I think at like 37 weeks pregnant with Carter, which was kind of borderline. I probably shouldn't have been traveling, but I had a midwife in Georgia and I had a midwife in Utah and we planned to deliver and have Carter in Utah because that's where we were living at his parents' house at the time and we just felt like, we were going to have the baby in Utah and I went to see Ellie Cade for some reason and I ended up having to stay because I was already too far along and like having contractions. And so I called Matt and I'm like, hey, we're having this baby. And do you remember you got in the car and you like drove?
When I found out I was at the summer work party, we were at the Days of 47 Rodeo and Ashley called me and she said that she was dilated or effaced or whatever it was. And I remember telling my boss and he was like, well, you better
get packed. You guys. And then, fast forward a couple of years and we have Claire and, you know, this time in our life was just, it was a lot of chaos. I feel like we were living in Atlanta And we planned on having her in Atlanta, but she was super early, you guys. She ended up going into the NICU and stuff. But so it was during finals or something. You had a paper due.
We had Claire. It was in, she was supposed to be due in April, right?
Yeah, and we had her the end of
March. So we had her, and she came maybe the weekend before a, you know, big test to, you know, to become a lawyer. It's the professional responsibility test. And it was like the weekend before. And then it was, you know, of course, final, you know, semester of classes was wrapping up. It was my third and last year of law school, and trying to fill out job applications. And then I knew the bar exam was looming too. So it was a super chaotic.
You guys, he kicked me out of my hospital room. I kid you not.
That's a little extreme.
He had a paper due, and he was like, you should go down to the NICU and stay with the baby while I do my paper in this hospital room.
I just felt like somebody needed to be with the baby in the NICU.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. Okay, so at this time, we have Claire, and really, all of your job interviews were out west. Like, all of his connections.
Yeah. I'd done some internships, and I worked my third year at a law firm in Atlanta. And I really, you know, filled out applications, you know, in a lot of different states. But as a lawyer, you've kind of almost got to choose because you have to get licensed in a particular state. And,
right.
And most lawyers just get licensed in one, I would say. Some get licensed in more than one. But I felt like I kind of had to choose a state at that point.
Right. And I think the market at that time, like there
was hard.
Yeah. Like there
it
was wasn't
right
a ton
after
of jobs.
I entered law school right in the middle of the recession. And legal jobs were hard to come by.
So we felt really lucky. Yeah, we felt really lucky that he got this really great job opportunity, and it was from a law firm out of Utah, but they really wanted to expand up to Boise. And so when we were presented with that opportunity, like it was just like, this is what we need to do. We felt really good about it. And you guys, when we were in court, like we had established long distance visitation in our custody paperwork. Like we kind of wanted to have that as a plan anyway. And so I really felt like it would be good for our family. And really, once we moved, it just brought on a new set of challenges for us. So at first, like, you know, we move out to Utah, and Ellie Kate started kindergarten. And we budgeted. We bought a townhome in it while we were living in Atlanta. And so we rented it out. And that entire rental income was basically plane ticket money for us. Like it was $1,000 a month. And we flew her out one weekend a month. And so, you know, there were other, you know, circumstances that I feel like made it challenging. Like she wasn't flying as an unaccompanied minor at the time. Like, I had to fly with her. So I was leaving Matt and it was all every single holiday. So we couldn't like veto or deny their dates. And so if they decided they wanted her Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and her, you know, whatever it was like, I was gone for all of that.
I had to fly with her. I had little, our little kids and, you know, Valentine's Day.
Right. Easter, and they're close in age. Like Carter and Claire are like 20 months apart. And so I remember like, I flew with Claire a lot, but at some point, you know, it was hard. And Ellie Cade was missing, she was missing school because it's impossible almost. I mean, when you're cross country.
Flights are more
difficult. It was really, really hard. And
you have a time change too.
Yeah.
Made it harder.
So, you know, there were a lot of reasons why we even thought about going back to court, but I just decided I felt really good about it to let her live with her dad. And I remember calling you and telling you that we were going to do that. And you were just really supportive. And you guys, so one of the questions that you sent in and that you've asked is, how does Matt support you when you're struggling? And so Matt, do you want to kind of talk on that?
Well, it's been kind of a learning experience for me because, you know, even part of my profession is I'm a lawyer, I give people advice. And so, and I tend to have kind of a, well, what can I do to fix a personality? That doesn't always work in our relationship, especially, you know, with certain things, you know, visitation and that type of thing, where it's not super helpful for me to come in and just give advice and try to fix a situation. I think that listening is more important in certain contexts than others, and just being there as that support.
Right. No, I totally agree. And then I will say this too on my end, like I have to set realistic expectations because like he has stuff going on too. So like, yeah, if I'm struggling and I have this like this big thing that I'm upset about, like he's had a long day at work or he's got his own stuff. Like I can't expect him to just read my mind and like bring me home a milkshake when I'm feeling sad. You know what I mean? Like, so honestly, like it's me being more, you know, intentional and open about like what I want and how he can help. And honestly, just kind of like verbalizing that, because that's so important. I think just communicating that,
well, that helps. But, I mean, sometimes I think that it's, you need some, you know, big thing from me, but right. Usually it's just, well, I just need like an hour by myself
for sure. And he watches easy. The kids for
I
me
mean, that's easy.
Yeah.
And you know, I could have wondered, you know, for hours at a time. And I think, you know, in the past when maybe we weren't communicating as well,
for sure,
we did that, but yeah, it's just so much easier to
totally a learning experience,
be intentional and communicate openly,
right? And then, so the other thing you guys asked about is how we work around Matt being like a planner personality and me not being a planner personality. Do you want to kind of, do you want to answer that?
I mean, I'm definitely a planner. I mean, I'm a very detail oriented, you know, it's kind of my job literally to be detail oriented and make sure all the T's are, you know, crossed and the I's are dotted. And so I kind of like to lead my, you know, home life and personal life in a similar way, but it's not always, it's a lot different with little kids and a wife and, every, you know, personalities aren't all similar, you know, to mine. And so it's one of those things that
we've definitely had to compromise on.
Yeah.
Like, so honestly, like we found just some like good resources. Like, so one of the things, I think one of the main things that we probably would normally fight about would be like money. I think that's pretty typical, like finances and stuff. Like that's something that is pretty common in like relationships. And you guys, we track our budget on an app, which like that is not a natural thing for me to do. Like I really struggle with like getting on and like tracking our expenses, but that's what he needs. And so he gives me the freedom and flexibility to have like a miscellaneous category where it's like, I get so much money in this little miscellaneous category and I can do whatever I want with it. And that fulfills my need of like, I need to be able to be spontaneous and go shopping. And like, if I want to go to Target, I can go to Target. But I meet his need and I have tracked our expenses and I put those little miscellaneous things into the budget so that he's not wondering, you know, what did the money get spent on? Because that's one of the things that like, I think maybe communication as well, but like, and you know, we have big financial goals this year, especially. And so to be able to make those happen, like I have to see the big picture and understand that like, instead of being so impulsive, like I need to make sure that I'm fitting my spontaneity into his, you know, like his need to be.
Well, I mean, we all have strengths and,
for sure,
and areas that we're not as strong in. And I think that they can complement each other in a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably be more spontaneous at times, and I think you bring that out of me more, and I'm happier because of it. You know, and I don't know if you would say this, but you know, maybe you appreciate that, you know.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The organization that I try to bring to the table.
Well, yeah, I would be so broke if I just spent all the money and then at the end of the day was like, oh crap.
She would be so broke.
Okay, and the other thing too is like, I feel like being able to even just plan for visitation. Like when I get upset and like super emotional and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I just miss Ellie Cade. I'm going to book a plane ticket today. And he's like,
she's done it before. Yeah, no, it's all of a sudden it's like, oh gosh, where did that, you know?
He'll see it come up on our budget app and he's like,
United
did you
Airlines. Buy no,
a-
I know. I know exactly what it is. But you know, for me it's when she's going and she's traveling, there's a lot,
right.
I feel like that
there's
needs
so
to be planned
much.
For. I mean, our, you know, our kids are in school and they, you know, leave later and get home earlier, then it doesn't exactly complement my work schedule. And so we need to, you know, find babysitters. And then sometimes she flies out of Boise, sometimes she flies out of Salt Lake.
Right.
And that requires a drive down there. And then when she gets there, she has to, you know, find a good rental car, get a good price and figure out where you're going to stay.
Just the logistics alone of figuring out these visits. If whenever I go to Florida, I just think, oh my gosh, this is going to be such a fun vacation. I can't wait. And he in his head is going,
oh,
like,
I'm thinking like immediately rental cars, hotels, what airline, where
ticket,
are you flying from?
Who's
how long
watching
are you
the
gone?
Kids?
Who's watching the kids?
Yeah, there's a
what
lot.
Do I have going on at work?
Yeah, right.
And there's one, I remember there was one day where I had like just a whole bunch of litigation. I mean, I was in like depositions all day long. And there's like downtown. And so I was literally gone from like 7 in the morning until, you know, seven at night, and the kids had, you know, had to be to school at 9:30 and got back at 3:50.
Well, and the kids, like, their breaks never coincide with Ellie Kate's breaks. Like, literally, it's, you know, especially this next trip that she's coming out here, it's like, it was such a hard one to plan for. But that being said, I can't just go off and do whatever I want. Like, if it were up to me, I would book a plane ticket, you know, every other week, and I'd be like, oh, she has a chorus concert, see you later. And that doesn't happen because I know that we have to plan for that. And my visits are more intentional that way. And when she comes out, it feels like we have planned, we've made a better plan for it. And also, like, I don't know, it feels like there's more freedom almost in having that structure. And I don't think I'm a person that would normally say
like
that.
It's like with the budget, it's like with money.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically kind of allowing, you're being intentional and you're allowing
yourself to spend money. Teaching me so many good lessons. I know. So you guys, thanks so much for those questions. And I feel like that's a good, you know, a good stopping point to wrap it up. But we will also, you know, are happy to answer questions anytime. So just make sure to send us a message and yeah.